brother.
God,
what's up?
This is a hey, good recording, guys, man.
Yeah,
hey,
brother,
like dig it.
Solid. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
I think anyone who puckers up their lips and presses it against their boss's buttocks and then smooches is an ass kisser.
I seem to be inept at everything except my work. I'm good at my work, so I confine myself to that. All I want out of life is a 30 share and a 20 rating.
The man's enlarged my mind. He's a poet, warrior in the classic sense. I'm a little man. I'm a little man. He's a great man.
Think of it as colors. There's black and there's white. And in between is mostly gray. That's us. Now, gray is a tough color because it's not as simple as black and white. And for the media, certainly not as interesting. But it's who we are.
Leader Fan Radio Network and KFAN.com. We'll go with 1 minute, no, 2 minutes, 2 seconds past 3 Central Standard Time. Bumper to Bumper Show back. It's a 3 hour, and now I'm being told 3 hour and 15 minute tour. Is that true, technically?
Yeah, I guess so. There's a Wild game tonight, isn't there?
3 hours, 15 minutes. If we're doing our math right, that means we'll be here until 6:15 this very evening. And, of course, if you've been listening to The Fan today on a ridiculously balmy Tuesday afternoon in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, you know that we've been in Lakeville all day. Fleet Farm, our location. It's the big annual Toys for Tots event. A little bit of The Fan, a little bit of Minnesota Vikings, a little bit of the United States Marine Corps. And we all kind of come together as one, attempting to break all previous records when it comes to toy donations. I ask this every year. Are we back to allowing cash? Can you come here and write a check? Can you hand cash to Ryan Donaldson? Or he gives me the thumbs up.
That's me. Yeah,
listen to the
Ryan
question
Donaldson.
First. Cash.
So
can we
classic.
Take cash here?
Cash,
yeah.
Checks, everything. So for some people, they don't have time maybe to go get a toy, although there's a bunch of toys.
You can get anything here.
In this area, a lot of really good ideas. But if you prefer cash, coins, whatever it is, we gladly will accept it, and we'll be here all afternoon. Very festive crowd in front of us. I mean, Fleet Farm is that, what's that one-stop shop place? Literally,
it's amazing.
You can buy, you really don't have to go to any other store.
Well, really what we should do is come up with a game or a bit, because we're all about bits. Can you buy it at Fleet Farm? And really,
oh, yeah,
I don't
idea.
Know what
like
you
that.
Can't, because I've been here, I did the Latino show noon to one, and then I've been walking around for 2 hours.
So you can get refrigerated food,
yes.
Perishable food.
That's down that way.
You can get canned foods, you can get packaged foods, you can get blue jeans, you can get sweaters, you can get galoshes.
Car parts.
You can get the biggest boots ever, you can get, lug nuts.
I got toys for my kids over here and grill accessories for my Traeger.
Yeah. Can you get, here's my question, is there an electronics section? Like, can you get DVDs here?
Yeah, I think they're right around
the
corner.
They got DVDs here?
Yeah.
Of course they do. Stupid question.
Yeah, actually, there's some DVDs right by the Marine over
That's
there.
Unbelievable.
I was looking at them earlier.
Yeah. Do they have 8-track?
That I don't know. Maybe in the back.
Probably in the back somewhere.
They could probably go in the back.
Exactly it. So if you can make the visit here at one time or another, you're welcome. We got a nice viewing area in front of us.
What I like about
very
our area.
Very comfortable Barca loungers in front. Pretty comfortable chairs, everybody, would you say? Yeah. Yeah, they hold your posture nicely.
I like that we've got people sitting down, and then there's about a half dozen that I'll give them a minute.
Yeah.
We'll see if they merit me sitting down.
Yeah, sure.
Otherwise, I'll just sit in the background and stand for a minute. I don't know if I'm going to dip my whole foot in.
No.
Maybe just my toe.
That's okay.
That's fine, too.
Looks like they got some nice holiday gift for like food ideas. I don't know if those are that's popcorn behind this gentleman
it's
here.
Everything.
Or those nuts or... Yeah, there is. It's a remarkable place. Are they open 24 hours?
I don't think they're open 24. It just feels like it. For the employees, it probably feels like
it. That's probably true, especially this time of year. Power Pack broadcast today. Guardsy had to remind me of our schedule. So Johnny Athletic couldn't quite make it out here?
Allegedly.
That's really weak. Is he celebrating the big victory over the statement victory over the... Oh, the Sacramento Kings, who didn't even bother to play?
He said he had an interview at 3 o'clock for yet I'm guessing, oral history on something on the Athletic.
Josh Okogie.
Yeah,
He's obsessed with Okogie. Now, he not only is demanding that he play more, he's demanding that he start and play 45 minutes a game.
Is that unreasonable?
Well, maybe it is.
Given
the
performance?
Yeah, he played pretty well yesterday. We know he's got high energy. Early apology to Derrick Rose. I thought the worst of him. I had a bad feeling that because he was starting in place of Jeff Teague, who was hurt, that there was a chance. The over-under on shots taken by Rose was 27, and I took the over. But it appeared, at least in the first quarter, I didn't see a lot of this game. It was over, really, at the end of one, that he did a very nice job of scoring, but also passing, handling the offense, and played very, very well. So maybe our effort to kind of remind him that it can't always be about him shooting the ball got across, because he looked like he played a very well-rounded game as a point guard is supposed to. It's supposed to be in part scoring for yourself. It's supposed to be in part, as Ricky Rubio said, making two people happy, and that means getting the ball to other people as well.
How many,
he apparently did that.
How many times in his career has he had one more shot attempt than assist? He took 12 shots and had 11 assists.
That sounds good to me.
That's pretty rare, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's nice balance.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's rare for the early part of his career, for sure.
Yeah.
Or when he emerged as a big-time MVP candidate. So, in any case, John Athletic will join us by telephone. That's at 4:15.
It is.
We have a Viking representative here. Stephen Weatherly is going to join us at 4. Is that correct?
He'll be here from 4 to 5 signing autographs right in front of us. We're going to grab him for the first segment of that.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Vikings cheerleaders have been here intermittently all day, I believe, right? And I see there's a couple.
They're back.
A couple of them. Nice to see you.
Just got here, right? So they still have the enthusiasm.
Yeah,
They're locked in.
They're ready to go. They haven't been beaten down yet. Well, I don't even think you're allowed to be beaten down, though. If you're not allowed to show it, which is really sad, because you should be able, even if you're a Viking cheerleader, to occasionally get annoyed.
Show your emotion.
And just not have to smile all the time. Do you ever get tired of smiling in all seriousness? Just a little?
No. I don't know if I believe that.
Okay, all right. Well,
what about second half of the Saints game? Were you still smiling second half of the Saints game? It seems like they were.
When the miracle took place.
Well, the most recent Saints game.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
So negative.
I'm just wondering. You brought it up.
I did?
I'm just playing to you.
I didn't bring up a loss. I brought up
smiling
issues.
Yeah. Well, beaten down. I felt beaten down in that game in the second half.
All I know is, and I can't, I don't think you can capture the sound because you're here. I heard in two different interviews, Dave Wannstedt, good friend of Glenn Mason's, occasionally been on with us, the former NFL head coach, college coach as well, Jimmy Johnson, Bobo.
Yeah.
Now doing Big Ten Network duty, largely.
And
some other stuff. And Fox.
Yeah.
That's exactly
with Robert
right.
Smith.
I heard him in two different interviews say that if I'm the Chicago Bears, the team I don't want to have to mess with in the postseason.
Excuse me?
Is the Minnesota Vikings.
Tweet that.
Dave Wannstedt. Yeah, he said, Wanny said, you know, they got a little something going. They still got a lot of talent on that team. There's no reason they can't get something started. I didn't mean to offend those two gentlemen. They seem bitter about it.
Enough.
I figured you guys would be encouraged.
Yeah.
Maybe they're Bears fans. I don't know. But in any case, that's what Wanny said. Maybe we'll try to get him on.
That's interesting because that's also the way we feel, isn't it? Like everybody says, we don't want to go to Soldier Field.
No, we feel the opposite. He's saying... He's saying that the Bears shouldn't want to see him.
Right.
What we're saying is we don't want to see the Bears.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
But he's saying the exact opposite.
Yeah, that's what I meant, which is interesting.
Right. That's what I thought made it kind of compelling, because there's not a lot of people taking the Vikings all that seriously right now in terms of long postseason journeys. And he's saying, don't sleep on them. Be careful.
I feel that way a little bit.
Well, then you've turned.
No.
I can't keep up with you.
What do you mean?
Well,
I wouldn't be terrified.
4 weeks ago, you dismissed this team as having any chance to get to the bowl.
Well, I still stand by that.
Well, okay, but
in terms
then I
of
thought
first
you
round
didn't
opponents.
Want to go to Chicago. Now you want to go to Chicago?
I guess I wouldn't be terrified.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I would rather play Dallas. If you're talking about wanting to win,
for sure,
I would much rather go to Dallas.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. That defense is really good, and you run the risk, no matter who the coordinator is, of you know, having difficulty scoring points. But no, I said this yesterday. They're not in. It's not like they cannot. The Bears at this point cannot lose because. And by the way, I'm not sure if you're a Vikings fan, you should still feel all that good about it, in that, so we've talked all year, the Bears are a year ahead of schedule, at least.
For sure.
And I don't think they're going away. They've got a young team, a lot of really talented young players, and a quarterback who still really hasn't figured it out, has made some good plays, but is a long way from the finished product, which would indicate if he can get 25% better, they're going to be a factor for a while. They ain't going to be the Packers that are going to be a factor. It's going to be the Bears, but they're not at a point now where you go, Bears, we're not even going to, you know, we won't even bother to show up. Because the kid can throw some interceptions.
He keeps
you might
games.
Be able to get something going, and so we'll indeed see. Lou Nanny at 5:15.
5:20-ish.
Yeah. But not here.
Not here. Yeah.
Lakeville's not that far.
I know. Well, I don't know if he's in town.
Oh.
I think he might be going to the game tonight, too. I can't, he's either in.
Oh, no, you know, he told us what he was doing tonight. He's at some party.
That's right.
That he can't get out of, but it is local.
You're right.
And he's doing it from
Marty Davis's office.
Marty Davis's office.
Marty Davis's office.
That's where he's going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some big Christmas shindig, which we weren't invited to.
Add it to the list.
Yeah.
Holiday parties all over the place, and we're not going to a one.
They don't write about us. They don't talk about us.
We'll do what we do. We'll do what we do.
That's exactly what we'll do. I mentioned off the top of the program, I'm already lost on time. Where are we?
We're
3:11.
Right.
We're good.
We got a minute or two.
I got a couple things for you. When we come back, I've got a fascinating journey, my yearly journey, which you reminded me of, my yearly trip to Cracker Barrel just across the highway, across 35.
Yep.
That had, once again, outstanding comfort food. None of it good for you, but comfortable.
No one's keeping score.
And then I went to the gift section, and you will not believe what you can find in the Cracker Barrel gift section. I've got a bag full of goodies. They're just for me.
Okay.
None of them are for you.
Not for the tots.
But I think they will all have meaning to anybody who... They certainly have meaning to me, and they have meaning to people who pay attention to the show at all. And I did say off the top of the program that we are indeed your Is It Possible It's All Over leader. That's related to a very specific football-related story out of the great state, my former home of Texas, that you cannot make up. You know the story I'm talking about?
I do know what you're
going to. You heard about it?
If it's what I think it is, I know. And it's done as, right?
It's done as, but you can make the argument that what's being done in this situation is not the problem, but actually a symptom of a problem. That they're actually creative in their way of almost mocking how ridiculous football popularity has become in the great state of Texas. So it's a very full slate today. We'll get into some other issues as well. Come and see us, Fleet Farm in Lakeville. Toys for Tots, the big event. The Vikings cheerleaders are here. They will smile on cue. They are conditioned to
well,
do
they,
it.
They've never stopped.
They are prepared to do it.
Yeah.
And they're happy to do it. So how do you argue with any of that?
You can't.
No, I don't think I will. Back in a minute here on The Fan.
You're listening to Dan Barrero, broadcasting live.
This segment brought to you by Papa John's.
Gargi has the list in front of him here at Fleet Farm of what those of you who stop by and see us, have a chance to win this hour. Basically, every hour there are contests, incentive to try to get you out here, to drop something off. And the prize package for this hour includes what?
A Sheldon Richardson autographed jersey.
Whoa.
If you donate a toy to Toys for Tots during, basically until about 4 o'clock. Ryan said we're going to do the drawing for this about 4 o'clock. This is the autograph prize, thanks to the Minnesota Vikings, a Sheldon Richardson jersey. Before we are done, we are giving away a Dalvin Cook autographed helmet a little bit later. So this hour, the prize is going to be Sheldon Richardson, and then a little bit later, if you're listening now and want to come by a little bit later, Dalvin Cook helmet will be drawn for a little bit later.
I'm a little disappointed that you didn't bring... I think we've made a mistake not emphasizing and perhaps even exploiting your high school tennis career. I mean, I got to believe that you got a leftover tennis, you know, sweaty, old, moldy tennis shirt that you won the state title in that you could bring here, offer to sign, and then we have another auction for that, as or a winner for that as well. I think that would bring in big people.
You know what I do have? I don't have a lot of relics from that era.
Yeah.
I have some pictures, I think. But I actually have, like, all my old rackets.
Oh, there you go.
I had, like, 10 of them. Right, and so
how many did you break? Were you McEnroe like?
Not too bad. There were a couple times when I shattered them, but not very often. My parents would, I'd get in trouble if I did that.
Yeah,
like they would be mad at me. So very rarely did I break a racket.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go in my garage now and break them with my children. You know, because of what they're driving me to, I want to smash my racket now.
That's on you. Nobody forced you to have three kids.
I know.
You keep having them. Stop having them.
That's the problem.
You know.
Yeah, it's cold here. Yeah. So. I have some rackets. Maybe we could auction some of those off. Yeah, I could sign them.
I think we could get $1.50, a couple of bucks for that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, I wonder how much that panda bear is up there. How much does the panda bear go for, do you think?
That's probably about $30, $20,
$30. Donaldson, how much is the panda bear over there? Over your hand, right behind you.
Right behind you.
$15 smackers, okay.
That one's $80 right there, the one that's in the bin.
Did somebody bring it, donate it, or did they actually buy it here and then drop it off?
I think they bought it right over there.
Bought it there.
If you look a little bit further.
Oh, yeah, there they are. That's brilliant.
So Patino came out here from noon to 1, and
a bunch of the Gophers
came out as well. Yeah. So Jarvis Immersa from Orono, he was one of the kids that came out.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the bear. He was basically walking around with one of those bears the entire time. He was just walking around the store holding that 5-foot bear. It was very strange.
Where did he get that money?
I don't think he bought it. I think he was just walking around with it.
Okay, I want to be sure that's not, you know, some sort of illegal, you know,
handout
that had passed from Richard Pitino to
the program's going to go down.
I don't know. I'm just wondering. I'm worried.
The program's going to go down because of a bear at Fleet Farm.
If it's bad, it happens to us.
It's true,
right? I mean, some technicality always gets
there's
us.
There's some enforcement. If it was that bear, the $15 one, it would have been fine. But it was the $80 bear, so he got popped.
So you reminded me. We're going to get to why. Well, it's a development out of the great state of Texas on the game of football and the, shall we say, level of intensity, which we know is great in Texas, but has presumably reached a new level, a new low or a new high, depending on your point of view. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Garzi reminded me, the last, I don't know how many years we've been at Fleet Farm here. It's been, is this the third or fourth?
This is year three, okay. I believe.
Well, one of the years, it might have been the 2 years ago. I think it was Abbott who said, hey, you know, if you're killing time, you get here a little bit early. You got it, you know, there's a Cracker Barrel across the road. And I kind of sneered, it's a Cracker Barrel? What are you talking about? But then he said, a lot of good comfort food,
that's
which I have, it's one of my many weaknesses. So I did. I went to Cracker Barrel 2 years ago, had a nice meal. I don't remember what I had that year. Came back last year, did it again. And then yesterday you reminded me, don't forget, you got to go to Cracker Barrel. And so...
Had you forgotten?
A little bit. I mean, it wasn't in the front of my mind.
Yeah, because I feel like that's part of my job as your producer. No, and your friend.
Yeah.
That there's things that you like that... And you mentioned you have a bad memory. So
I do have
you don't always
memory.
Remember.
I don't even remember shows I was on.
Yeah,
I don't.
Including Sports Fan Sunday.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't remember that.
The show page.
I'm not going to say I'm alone in
and
that
you'll,
regard.
Once you see it now, you'll never forget it.
No,
once you see it 30 years later.
Yeah, especially because I had hair.
So
yeah.
I'm glad I jogged your memory because I know you like it so much, and I wanted you to have that experience. So I feel good.
I had for the second consecutive year a cup of chicken noodle soup.
Nice.
And then I had the chicken fried chicken smothered, you know, deep fried, smothered in that white gravy.
Yep.
I said, I don't like the gravy on the potatoes. You know, I got my limits on the gravy. So she looked at me like I was a little strange, but mm-hmm. she said, okay, we can accommodate you. That, a side of corn, kernel corn, and two big pieces of cornbread.
Oh, that's just tremendous.
It's unbelievable.
What do you drink with that? Just water?
Just water.
Okay.
I used to be Diet Coke guy. Now I'm just water.
All right.
So then I get done. They got this massive fireplace there, too, by the way. Have you been in it?
Yeah, well, and I remember you talking about the fireplace.
Yeah, fireplace is unbelievable. Yeah. Okay, so then there's it's like old-fashioned to the extent that you pay in the, I guess, the gift section. So what you do. And so I pay, and then I say, well, I got to look around. There's got to be something.
As my father-in-law would say, that's how they get you.
That is how they get
you. They make you pay
so
in the gift section.
So I'm going to ask you this. Now, what are the odds that within minutes I discover these items that are, one, you could say, hard to get, B, I've complained about how hard to get they are, and that they have them. Let me give you the first.
I know what you got. Can I guess?
Yes.
One of them has to be a chunky.
Not just any chunky.
Yeah.
Look at the size of that chunky, ladies and gentlemen, here in the audience. It's massive. It's like a double chunky. It's 4 1/4 ounces, which I think is double the usual. And it was right there prominently. And what have I been complaining about? Too many places refuse to sell the chunky.
Not Cracker Barrel.
No, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's just bizarre.
And what I like about that is it says great to share.
I'm not sharing
on the wrapper, which you won't.
No, I won't share this.
But I like that it at least tells you.
I can't have other people's grubby hands on that, because then you got to divide. How do you divide the chunky? You touch it.
You've got a knife and fork.
Well, maybe we do.
But I like how they give you a little bit of that guilt on the wrapper, like, you should share this.
Well, yeah.
As you're sitting in your car crying later, eating the whole thing.
You're right about that. So I got the chunky. Then, this is not anything I necessarily would have expected. But we're always looking for last-minute gifts for Giovanzi, you know, the deprived child.
Yes.
So I found, I think it's a neon peace sign, I think is what it's supposed to be. Isn't that a peace sign?
Looks like it, yeah.
Kind of. And it was on discount, half price. So I said, well, do we know that it still works?
Did they
and
help
she
you
said,
plug
well,
it
if it doesn't, just bring it back, which is a little concerning. Maybe we can plug it in here and find out.
Yeah,
if
we'll
that
plug
works.
It in. We'll use it during the show.
Now, I don't want people here to think I stole it from here, because I didn't.
The record is clear.
Okay.
You've got your receipt.
Does that look like a peace sign to people?
It does. Yeah.
Kind of, sort of. Any of you familiar with the peace sign back from the... Okay, just want to be... You know, it's...
Yeah.
Can't assume anything.
For sure.
Then here's the pièce de résistance. Here's the one that you say, what? What are the odds that I would find this at a gift shop in Cracker Barrel after devouring chicken fried chicken smothered in gravy? But take a look at this.
Marvin
Gaye, What's Going On, the album. Of course, we start every show...
We do.
...with the title track from that particular album. You can't even find albums like this anymore, and there it is. And this looks like, you know, nicely...
Good condition.
Good condition. I'm sure this is one of the ones that have kind of been reissued, but there it is. I'm going, if that's staring me in the face when I walk into Cracker Barrel...
You got to buy
it. I have to buy this. Even though I think I already have one, doesn't matter. You got to get it. It's bad luck for me to not get this, don't you think?
I know that you have the 50-year anniversary of the album
that was given to us
by somebody, our buddy Jason, who works in the record business.
Right.
So how big is this gift shop? Is it Fleet Farm-like?
No.
Because
it's not that big. But
that is
eclectic.
Eclectic, exactly right.
That's what's fun about it is the varied items. Again, clothing, stuff for the walls, a couple of albums, hats, knickknacks, you name it, they got it.
So nothing that your producer would have liked, you didn't see.
No, not really.
Nothing that might have piqued my interest.
Nothing Edina related that I could. There was no. Well, it's not highbrow enough for you.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What I mean? You know what I mean? It's not highbrow enough for an Edina kit.
There's plenty of things in there that are highbrow. A Marvin Gaye vinyl's not highbrow. That's
not
pretty
really.
Highbrow. That's pretty erudite.
Yeah,
I think.
Maybe. Yeah, it could be.
That's nice.
So I doubt I'll ever play it. Although they had record players on sale there, too, for like, you know. 50.
Those are making a big comeback, aren't they?
They're making a big comeback.
Yeah.
And I get the nostalgia of them, but I'm not sure the sound is going to be up to what you're looking for anymore.
Probably not. It's a little different.
So there it is. I mean, does it get any better than that?
What a day you've had.
Think about that.
Before the show even starts, you had yourself
peace sign for the kid.
We'll plug that in during the break.
And this for me. And, of course, I didn't get anything for my wife, either.
Well, at least you thought of one other person, Giovanzi.
Well, I had to get the album. The album looked absolutely tremendous. So we got all that. I got that all going for me, and I'll see Cracker Barrel, I hope, next year about this same time, because that's it. It's once a year for me on Cracker Barrel.
And they hope as well. If your visit today is any indication, that's a nice return on their investment in you.
You're probably right.
You know?
What time we got?
It's probably time to break.
All right, let's break, and then we'll get to the football story that some of you may be familiar with. If you're not, you're going to be in the next several days, because it is going to take on national implications, I think, out of Odessa, Texas. And it will whatever you thought you knew about how crazy people are about football in the great state of Texas, you know nothing. This story will completely change your viewpoint and remind you that it is even more intense, more absurdly intense than you could have ever imagined. We'll get to that. Then we'll prepare for a visit with Stephen Weatherly, correct?
Exactly right.
He's coming in. Vikings cheerleaders are here. Toys for Tots, the event. Come and see us. Donate a toy. Donate some cash. Donate whatever you can. We'll appreciate it. We'll even say hello. Back in a minute. Back in a minute.
Back in a minute.
Back in a minute.
He might be helping with the Mike Zimmer interview.
Back in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Should we just not break yet?
Yeah, well, we can't break.
You know.
We can't break.
Who is it? Is it Zach?
Now, Joe is doing a little bit of double duty here, I think. So we'll make I know he was doing a Zimmer interview that he had to record with PA, so we'll
okay.
See. We'll see where he's there.
So just he didn't doze off, did he?
No, that would be Zach.
Yeah. We've seen that. We've seen visual evidence of that.
Yes,
right?
We have.
Stuff on video. There's been stuff on the camera, right? On what's the surveillance camera? Don't we even have surveillance
camera?
We
have surveillance footage because
of him nodding off and just his head. He leans back in the chair and then his head just
yes.
This guy's all the way back.
It's like your uncle at Christmas, you know, who falls asleep.
Except, he's a little younger.
Except
and it's
he's
not
22.
Supposed to happen.
It's 22 and it's noon.
That's it.
Joe, did you fall asleep or were you doing double duty?
Double duty, but we're double ready duty. To go to break now.
All
let's
right.
do it. We'll pause here. We'll get back to the football controversy next here on The Fan.
You're listening to Dan Barrero, broadcasting live from Fleet Farm in Lakeville, collecting toys for tots along with the Minnesota Vikings on The Fan.
Like, things are shut down on Saturday. Stores, people don't go out. They just go to the game. It's a different beast. It's similar to, I would say, playing at this level where they throw everything into football. Mm. The stadiums, the football facilities, the whole nine are creme de la creme. And so there's not that big of a jump from SEC football to professional football in regards to, like, facilities and things of that nature.
We talked about your victory this last game, and about the position the team is in. If you keep winning, you will make the postseason. How do you feel at this point about what the potential is for this team this year? Because as you know, right now people, when they talk about, okay, who's going to make the deep runs in the playoffs, the teams that are getting the most juice have been the Saints and, well, the Rams until lately. The Rams have kind of come back to the pack, which maybe is a sign that anything's possible. But you guys get a little bit, even the Bears are getting obviously a lot of attention having won the division. What's possible here? Do you guys still look at this thing as it's wide open? Or you feel like you have to prove that you guys are capable of making a run given the ups and downs this season? Where are we at with this team, do you think?
Good question. I feel like personally that everything we want is still in front of us. We've won games as a team and we've lost games as a team. I feel like we've gone through enough ups and downs throughout the season that when we do win these last two games and we make it to the postseason, that nothing will come as a surprise to us, that we know how to fight, that we've gone through enough adversity. And I feel like we can get hot and make that deep run into the postseason.
You know, I mentioned the Rams. Their offense has started to struggle a little bit. The Saints found a way to win yesterday, but it wasn't with a great offensive explosion at all, actually. And, you know, the trend through much of the season was, well, it's all offense now, man. That's what the league's about. That's what the league believes in. That's what the league believes fans believe in. And yet, we're seeing some signs that maybe defense still can have an impact. What do you say to the trend about this being all about offense? And do you think that we are seeing a little bit of maybe the defense is starting to figure out some of these fancy offenses in a way that they're not, you know, they're not playing at the same machine-like level that they were earlier in the season?
Offense and defense is a lot of ebb and flow. A defensive coordinator is going to figure out a way to stop these high-powered offenses. And it's a copycat league. So once one team puts it on film that Even if, like, let's say with the Rams, the first time the Rams struggled, the next team saw that and saw what that team did and then fused it with their defensive philosophy to then lead to more troubles. And even though the Rams may have won that second game, they have two back-to-back games of struggling. The third team inevitably came in and then beat them, right? And so, like, that's the formula. It's never that first team comes in and just gives you fits and just walks away with the victory. They give you fits, but then you're still able to pull it out because you're still a high-powered offense. And then the next team sees it, and by the time the third week comes around, someone's got you figured out. And so with that, it's still about defense. I feel like this may be biased. It is biased, but we win games.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time of when the defensive coordinator is going to figure it out. And with a guy like Zim, it won't take him long at all.
The old cliche is that in the postseason, defense travels. Do you agree with that? That if you got a good defense, it doesn't matter home or road. That's a weapon with which you can do some damage.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you also buy the notion? Do teams, if they watch a defense play a certain way with effectiveness, do they also then in the chess match start doing some things that can make that defense look a little bit more vulnerable, where then Zim, for example, has to adjust to what they do? Does it work both ways when it comes to the adjustment issue to the chess match?
Definitely. You never know. There are some teams that are notorious based on their coaching philosophy and the people they have in charge that they're either going to come in and do what they do no matter what, and it's up to the defense to try to stop them. There are some other coaches in the league that believe that, oh, we need to take advantage of some of the holes that we've seen in their defense. And so they'll come in and their offensive attack will be different from week to week. And you know that leading into a game, which type of coaches you have in place at which teams. So you just know that, hey, guys, we're playing X this week, and they are all about this particular play, and it's up to us to stop it. And then we come in the next week, and it's like, hey, it's a mixed bag. This coach has changed from week to week. On film, we've had troubles with A, B, and C. We need to get good at A, B, and C this week. And then when we step on the field, lo and behold, A, B, and C popped up. But we put the fire out quickly.
Now the most controversial question. Do you have your Christmas shopping done? Are you an early shopper? Or are you a last-minute procrastinator? Or do you have nothing to worry about there?
Nothing to worry. I don't buy anything for anyone.
Why?
Nope. Nope.
Come on.
Nope. It's time to be generous.
Oh, I see.
My love and affection is enough for everyone.
That's it. That's convenient. That probably works out very well for you in the pocketbook for sure, right? That's exactly it.
Exactly.
Well, you are willing to offer up as a present your signatures, though, they tell me, for some folks who come here. They've got helmets. They've got things they'd like you to sign. You got cards here as well. So we'll let you get to that. Thanks for coming to see us. Good luck the rest of the way. As you say, it's wide open for you. Stephen Weatherly, ladies and gentlemen, Minnesota Vikings defensive line. Thanks for coming to see us.
Thank you for having me.
We'll pause here. We'll get him down at the table where he can start doing some signing, and then we'll chat with John Athletic, who was at Target Center last night for the Wolves finally winning a basketball game after that 0-4 road trip. We'll get to him on a number of subjects, both Vikings and, I'm guessing, Timberwolves related. Lou Nanny will join us to talk hockey in the 5 o'clock hour. Toys for Tots, the big event, Fleet Farm in Lakeville. Great opportunity to hang with us, donate a toy, your cash, whatever may work for you. Love to see you between now and 6:30 right here on The Fan.
You're listening to Dan Barrero, broadcasting live from Fleet Farm in Lakeville, collecting toys for tots along with the Minnesota Vikings on The Fan.
John Athletic is indeed with us on the Whiting Clinic LASIK and Cataract Hotline, and lots to cover with him. Been a while. See, it feels like it's been. Did we talk last week? I don't even remember.
We did talk. I put my heart and soul into that segment. Thanks for remembering, Dan.
I knew.
I remember, Johnny. For the record,
I knew that would.
I remember
you.
Every word.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, Guardsy.
I'm a little resentful today. I'm not going to deny it. I got a little bit of bile built up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can understand that. I do wish I could have got down there, but...
Of course you couldn't.
That's an awfully big haul to get down there and get back up here to grab the kids.
It's not that far. It's a little bit south.
It's South Des Moines.
Well, people missed you. There are a couple people who were very disappointed They wanted to shake hands with you, break bread perhaps, but we'll do the best we can with it. It's all we can do at this juncture.
Yes. Sorry I couldn't make it. I'll see you at the next Wolves game.
Well, maybe. We'll see. So we win last night, and it looked like a laugher. By the time I turned it on, it seemed like we were already up 25 or 30 or 40 or whatever it was. I guess I owe Derek Rose an apology because he was looked like he was the consummate point guard. Dutiful in that he not only scored effectively, but he seemed to distribute effectively as well. He handled the starting role with aplomb in the wake of the news that Jeff Teague wasn't going to go, correct?
He did, yeah. He had 11 assists in the game, and it was worth thinking about, Dan, because I did ask Tom Thibodeau before the game if Derek was going to start, and that wasn't me being a smart aleck at all. It was wondering that would he put Tyus Jones in the starting lineup
right,
and keep Derrick Rose as the primary scorer with that second unit, which has worked so well this season. But to Derrick Rose's credit, to Tom Thibodeau's credit, he did slide right in there and just played very, very well. It wasn't just getting his own shot, which he did well, but he was getting others involved. And so he has kind of shown a nice flexibility in his game, and I think he understands that when he plays with Towns and Wiggins in that starting lineup, that they need shots, that they need to, he needs to help get them going as much as getting himself going, and, right. and he did that early in the game last night. It was well done on his part.
The you're on the Okogie bandwagon. It's pretty clear you're pushing hard. You're pushing. You're basically trying to, now it appears you almost seem to be trying to shame the head coach into playing him more often. Is he giving any ground here that, let's say with a perfectly healthy roster, is he coming to grips with the possibility that he's got to try to find some way to wedge him into the rotation? Or do you still think that's going to be an ongoing, I don't know, battle or challenge in the coming weeks?
Yeah, I thought, you know, I went pretty heavy on it at The Athletic last night because I did kind of pick up on some rhetorical adjustments by Tom Thibodeau in his post-game press conference. What we have heard from him through the first couple of months of the season now, and Okogie's had a couple of other nice games where he's come in and flashed and played pretty well, and you say, okay, after each of those games, you say, hey, Tom, are you going to get him some more minutes, or is he earning more time? And after each one of those occasions, he generally said something along the lines of, you know, hey, he's just got to stay ready. We've got a nine-man rotation. He's just got to keep working, keep getting at it. His chance will come. It's a long season, that sort of thing. Now, last night, after he came in the second quarter and really just blew the game up, with his defense, with his offense, with his playmaking, with his dunking, with all of it, he was asked about Okogie, and he said, we're going to look for situations that we can use him. And that kind of, to me, speaks to a little bit of a departure. It seems to be him acknowledging that the energy that he brings, especially defensively, his athleticism, his just intensity out there is getting just too hard to ignore. And one of the criticisms of Thibodeau, I think even inside the locker room over the last couple of years, has been a player from the bench can kind of either move into a starting rotation or can get increased minutes because of an injury and play really, really well. And then when that healthy player comes back, he just slides right back into his old role and doesn't get a chance to build on that. But I do think that Tibbs is kind of seeing that Okogie is just a different kind of animal. And this team often needs energy and often lacks that. And he's a guy who brings that in spades. And so I do think it sounds like even when Jeff Teague comes back, which he's not going to be back on Wednesday night, but even when he does come back, there might be more of an effort to get him, not starter minutes, but at least some minutes to try and impact the game.
So who loses minutes? How do you, I mean, because he'd been going with basically a nine-man, generally, correct?
Yes, that's right.
How do you find time for 10, or is it again the possibility that somebody doesn't, you know, give it a matchup. He's not been much of a matchup guy historically, has he? Tibbs goes with his guys pretty much.
Yeah, he does go with his guys, and that is right. It's a challenge to get 10 into there, and so there's a couple of ways you can look at it. One is if Tyus Jones, when Jeff Teague comes back, if Tyus Jones moves back into the role he had prior to last night where he had 10 points, 10 assists, primary point guard with that second unit, and he played really well. He looked like the Tyus Jones that we have seen before at Duke, that we've seen when he's been having success. But when he plays off the ball with Derrick Rose in that second unit, it doesn't fit him, Dan. He has not been shooting well. He's not a catch-and-shoot, standstill player. And so he just looks uncomfortable there. So you might say that you could make an argument for trimming some of Tyus Jones' minutes and put Okogie in that role. You could say, hey, maybe you don't play a Covington 38 or 39 minutes while he's working through his sore knee. Maybe you give him minutes closer to 30 and you shave off some there and give Josh some of those minutes. Maybe you give Derrick Rose some lighter nights some nights if you want to get him a little bit of a rest. But it's not an easy proposition for Tom Thibodeau to shoehorn Okogie in there and still try and keep some of your other guys happy and in a rhythm. But I think that, you know, he does have a few options to look at if they do just go back to Teague in the starting lineup, Tyus Jones, Derrick Rose with that second unit backcourt. You can shave some minutes there and give Okogie some run.
I want to talk some Vikings when we come back. Maybe one or two more NBA-related questions as well. John Athletic is joining us. Don't forget, I keep forgetting to mention, actually, that Brian Billick will join us by telephone at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. We expect Lou Nanny about 5:15 or 5:20 or so. But let's get some football conversation going with John Athletic. We'll get to that after a very brief pause here on The Fan.
Time now for the Vikings Report on The Fan. Presented by Blue Moon Brewing Company. A member of the Minnesota Vikings joins Barrero next after this.
Part two with our guy, John Athletic, on the Whiting Clinic LASIK and Cataract Hotline as we continue from our location today, which is the Toys for Tots event, Fleet Farm in Lakeville. We'll be here until 6:30 or so. A little before that, we get out a little bit early because of the Minnesota Wild Hockey and Vikings programming to get in ahead of it. Come and see us. Donate a toy. Stephen Weatherly's still here signing as well, which I think is going to go till 5?
That's right, 4 to 5.
So you still have the window if you're not too far away. It would have been a great opportunity for our guest, but he was too busy doing other things. But I'm not bitter about it. I've moved on, that's for sure. Good to have you back, John, by the way.
Hey, did you ever determine, by the way, was John's interview today for the latest oral history on The Athletic? Did you get to that?
The latest oral history?
Yeah, I mean, was your interview today for the latest in an endless series of oral histories for The Athletic?
It will not be an oral history. I cannot reveal what I'm working on. I will tell you, I get in trouble when I do this sometimes on your program. It's not going to be earth-shattering, but it's a very, very nice Christmas story. So keep an eye out for it early next week. It's going to be a good one.
But you didn't really need to do the interview today. You probably could have done it tomorrow. Right?
No, I actually had to do it today because I got one more day until we hit the road for Christmas stuff.
So that's right, yeah.
Time's a-wasting here, Dan.
Yeah, I understand how that goes. By the way, there's been a lot of overnight discussion about James Harden's hop back to the three-point line. Even by NBA standards, we've got a number of NBA people, even the ones who are generally defensive about the belief that that everybody travels, I think seem to say, my God, what are we doing here? What did you make of that whole deal?
Yeah, I think it's like the perfect storm because everyone all the time says James Harden is one of the most frequent travelers in the NBA. And there's a frustration among defenders, those who defend him, that's, you know, he gets away with something that others aren't able to, that he pushes the envelope. Then there are those who are in Harden's corner who say, look, he's actually just got a better understanding of the rules than anyone else does, and he executes it properly. Now, this one was unbelievable. I mean, this was a step back to a step back. And not only did he get away with the travel, but I believe our guy Rubio got called for a foul while he was taking that shot. And so they won by 5 points or something like that, and it was clearly a huge momentum swinger in the game. But he has such amazing footwork that he absolutely does trick referees, and so he gets away with more, I think, than the average player does. But that one was an absolutely egregious thing that should have been called, absolutely, because there's no way to defend that. It's impossible. It's illegal, and it's like this example A for everyone who complains about James Harden and the way that he plays.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it, though. He has a gift to the point where does Harden to the point where sometimes I think referees don't trust their own eyes.
Yeah.
And so they don't make a call that should be obvious because they've been flummoxed or fooled somehow because he's the guy doing it. I think that's a pretty good way to put it. Your Minnesota Vikings got on track, as you know, a much-needed victory against the Miami Dolphins. An odd game in that they dominated early, obviously dominated going away late, and then there was this very nerve-wracking middle that took place as well. Was it nerve-wracking enough and unsettling enough that you thought there was a real chance in the middle of that game, Johnny, that the Vikings could find a way to squander that ball game?
It was getting a little hot under the collar for sure there, Dan, in the third quarter. I felt like they always were going to be okay because their defense was playing so well. I mean, they did have the long run for a touchdown, but you could chalk that up to more of one fluke play than anything else. So I didn't think that they were going to lose it, but it was certainly getting a lot tighter than you would have liked. After they started out with three touchdowns on three possessions and looked like they were really going to turn it into a blowout. Now, to their credit, they were able to stabilize things and pull away as the game went on. But yeah, for a good 6-7 minutes there in that third quarter, you thought, okay, is Cousins reverting back to the player he had been the previous couple of weeks? Is this offense stagnating a little bit? And it just turned out that it was a blip. But yeah, I think there were some nervous people both in the stands and probably in the coach's box if they were to be honest with you.
On the basis of that game, has Zim already been vindicated regarding his move with the offensive coordinator DeFilippo?
Well, I made a couple of jokes during the game that we got to start getting Stefanski's bust ready for the Hall of Fame.
That's so mean. That's so mean of you. So vicious and cheap.
Yeah, I really did take low-hanging fruit there, but I'm not really proud of it. But look, they played a defense that is really bad against the run, and they carved them up. And so they don't have to apologize for beating a defense that hasn't been any good this season. And I think that they did what they were supposed to do ultimately in terms of Mike Zimmer wanted them to get the running game going. They absolutely did. Dalvin Cook had 19 carries. I think it's the second most this season. Or his 20 touches total were second most this season. And I liked that Stefanski just said, look, this is one of our very best players, and he has to have the ball in his hands more than he has for most of this season. And so I think when you start there, that's a good approach. Now, I think that we can expect the sledding to be a little bit tougher, certainly against the Bears in the season finale and in any playoff games if they're able to get in. But this was a good first step. Still not one that you say total vindication, let's crown everyone, everything is going to be fine going forward, but they made a good first step here.
Never enough for you.
Well, hey, I just got
41. What was the final? 41-17. Never enough.
Is nine? That was 9-3 and going to the NBA Finals, and then went 0-4 on the road. So
yeah,
I'm a little bit, I guess, gun shy about proclaiming anybody arrived after on the strength of one or two victories over mediocre opponents.
Well, let's broaden out the subject then to the NFC itself, whether. Because there's always the danger of overreacting to the game that was just played or the last couple of weeks. But that being said, there are people going, maybe there isn't. We've had a couple of teams in the NFC with dominant records, but in different ways, it almost seems as if they've come back to the pack. Now, the Saints found a way to win yesterday, but their offense, again, was pretty pedestrian, and they won it defensively, which may mean that they can win more than one way, but they don't look as dominant. The Rams look like they might be. The Rams might not win the rest of the season, the way people are talking about them. Their quarterback looks terrified right now. And the Bears are a nice story, and they've had a really good season, and they're kind of, I think they're a year ahead of schedule as it is, so whatever they can do, I'm sure they're going to be satisfied with, and defense is legit. But does that, in an odd way, what we're seeing from the top teams in the division from a record standpoint indicate that there is a path, if you get hot enough, that might still include the Minnesota Vikings?
Without question, Dan. I think so. And, I've continually said throughout this season that on this roster, from top to bottom, in the NFC, they belong, from a pure talent standpoint, right at the top of the list. I mean, the Rams are incredibly talented. The Saints are talented as well. I think the Vikings, top to bottom, are more talented than the Bears are right now. And so it's always just been a matter of wanting to see this roster put together a balanced effort and one where they're very good defensively and very good offensively in the same game. They are capable of doing that. And that's, to me, been the biggest frustration in watching them this season, is that I do think that at 7-6-1, they have underperformed that this season. They have underachieved so far. But if Miami is a stepping off point to getting some momentum, and you roll against Detroit, and then you're playing well against Chicago, and you get some confidence going, and you get some crispness offensively, I think this is a very dangerous team going into the playoffs. I mean, they have to prove it still. They really still have to beat a really good team. I mean, Miami was the first team with a winning record that they've beaten all season long, and so they have to do it against upper echelon competition. But there is no team in this conference, even in this entire league, really, where I would say they go into the game and say, well, they have no chance. There's no way they can beat the Rams. There's no way they can beat the Saints. There's no way they can beat the Bears. They will be underdogs in a lot of these games on the road in the playoffs, but I think that you could go in and make a case for them being able to beat any of these guys if they play up to their potential, which they have not done for much of this season.
You're starting to get the feeling, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're starting to feel it. But then, like you said, better be careful, because you were feeling it with the Wolves.
Yeah.
And then we hit the road and we lost four in a row and weren't very impressive in at least three of those. So that's the danger, I guess.
The trap difference is set and my foot is dangling over it. That's I don't know if I'm going to step into it or not. I've only lived here for 37 years of my 39 years, Dan. I don't know why I haven't learned before. But, yeah, I have a hard time discounting them at this point.
When is this new athletic opus going to land on our virtual doorstep?
It will be there Christmas Eve.
Oh, come on!
Before,
don't do the cliche.
No,
don't do for the Christmas column. Don't do the cliche. We got to give it to you the day before. Give it a week before. Let it breathe. Give more people a chance to see to it. Because otherwise, then the shelf life's a day, and then people don't want to hear anymore about the good, the feel good Christmas stories. Give it some time.
I will tell you, Dan, that this is going to warm your heart so much, Dan, Really? It's going to carry you right through the new year.
Well, okay. All right. So. I'll take your word for it on that.
We've really got him to build up the tease. Remember before said it's not groundbreaking, right, but it's a nice story. Now it's the greatest story ever told.
Yeah.
Subscribe to The Athletic. Buy gift
a subscription. Get your talking points right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Russo's bitter with you. I don't think he thinks you get your talking points down often enough with us.
Hey, I do have a bar to jump up to get to him. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, so I'm working on that every day. So.
All right. Well, I'm out next week. Garzy, you out next week?
Well, on Tuesday, it's Tuesday Christmas.
That's Christmas,
right?
So we're all out Tuesday.
The 26th is the Quick Lane Bowl, so there's no show.
So my point is, I think you're off next week.
27th and 28th, I will be working.
Oh, well, then maybe you're going to have Johnny Athletic?
I would love to have Johnny Athletic.
Who's to say? Well, what's the 28th? Is that Thursday?
That's a Friday.
Friday, I'm back that Friday, too. Thursday's my last day off, I think. So we'll figure out a way to wedge you in if it'll work.
Hey, you know me. I'm always here. Like I never quit for you guys. I don't take a day off. So
my phone, yeah.
My phone.
You're always reachable.
You know my number. You give me a call, and I will pick up.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Well, we should be able to talk to you before Happy New Year. But have a good holiday. We'll chat soon.
Same to you again.
Thanks,
you,
Johnny.
All your families, and thanks for everything, Dan. Appreciate
always
it.
A pleasure. John Athletic, wrapping up close to the end of another big year with him. Let's get a pause in when we return. I don't think Brian Billick is at this Fleet Farm.
No.
But I think he is going to be available to us by telephone. And I'm very curious to get his view on what's going on, especially in the National Football Conference. And is it possible that this is the time that it's right and fair to declare last rights for the New England Patriots?
Whoa.
We'll see if Billick is willing to go that far when we return here on The Fan.
You're listening to Dan Barrero, broadcasting live from Fleet Farm in Lakeville, collecting toys for tots along with the Minnesota Vikings on The Fan.
KFAN, total traffic.
Station Stores Traffic Center. Delays on the southbound side of 169, starting in Plymouth to 16th. Southbound 35W backing up at Hennepin to 5th Avenue. Accident northbound 35W at 94. Crash eastbound 94 at Snelling, blocking the left lane. That's causing a big backup on eastbound 94, starting at 35W. Then delays at Dale to Highway 52. I'm Dylan with traffic on The Fan.
If you've got the dreaded stuffy nose this cold and flu season, try Sinex Nasal Spray. A couple of quick sprays of Sinex Nasal Spray, and it starts to work in your nose and lasts for up to 12 hours. So be ready when congestion strikes. Sinex Nasal Spray. Use as directed.
Brian Billick will be checking in with us in just a few minutes. I assume we moved the top five at 5 to the 520 Sports Fix?
No.
Oh, we got Louie.
Yeah.
So we just never get... You're getting out of the 520 Sports Fix too often.
You think so?
I think now I'm starting to think it's purposeful.
You're starting to figure it out.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, you're booking a lot more people at 455 than you ever did before.
That's true.
That's sacred land, man.
Yeah, but you know what it is? We've gotten the analytics that it's like our number one listen-to segment.
Right.
And I feel like the audience deserves a big knocker.
Oh, I see.
As opposed to just...
But no, you're looking at it all wrong.
What do you mean?
Well, first of all, it's phonally self-deprecating.
Is that what it is?
And secondly, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Oh, maybe.
I think that's the way we go with it. It's basically that half hour. It's basically 4:50 to 5:30.
It's huge.
Is when we're a gold mine, apparently.
Yeah, it's huge.
All right, so let's get a couple of housekeeping items in here for our big Toys for Tots event. Of course, we're at Fleet Farm in Lakeville. And we got a couple of contests that we want to introduce for this hour, correct?
Well, we want to thank Dickie's, first of all.
Okay.
Dickie's Barbecue. Dickie's Barbecue of Eagan, more specifically.
All right.
A lot of catering needs around the holidays, and there's still time. It's not too late to cater your holiday party. I would recommend Dickie's. We had it at lunch, which I was here for, and now I'll probably have some during the Billick interview, if you don't mind. So thanks
Doesn't
to Dickie's.
Me.
No, and then we're here for the next 90 minutes or so. If you donate, come and donate a toy, you'll be entered in to win a Dalvin Cook autographed helmet. That's a pretty good prize.
Is it the helmet he wore last week?
Unconfirmed.
In his breakthrough game?
Unconfirmed if that's the helmet, but I do know that it's signed by Dalvin Cook.
Is it game worn?
I doubt it. It's not in the notes. It's not in the notes,
but
I'm going to say I doubt it.
All right. Well, as we continue to do, we'll keep the Toys for Tots rhythm going all the way till when we wrap up just before 6:30. But Brian Billick is indeed kind enough to join us. He's on the Whiting Clinic and LASIK Cataract Hotline. Brought to you by our good friends at SeatGeek, as always, SeatGeek.com. First purchase, $20 discount if you put the code name Billick into your system. Mr. Billick, welcome back. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and to yours. And thanks for giving us time once again. It's a good time to be talking National Football League, man. I think especially in the NFC, we're trying to get a handle on whether there might be an opening for the Minnesota Vikings, that maybe there's some signs the Rams are coming back to the pack a little bit. Saints are still good, but the offense not quite as strong. Bears are looking, you know, pretty interesting, but not a lot of pedigree. Is there still hope after the big bloodletting, the offensive coordinator moving on, still hope for your Minnesota Vikings to make a push, or do you have to see more before you're ready to go that far?
No, there is certainly the – hello, I'm getting a little feedback here.
You got some feedback? All right, we'll see if we can work on that back at headquarters.
Yeah, it is clearly there's the potential for that just because of what you laid out. The top teams that have seemed invincible to this point have kind of come back to the pack a little bit. New Orleans, certainly solid, playing well, but not invincible in terms of the way the offense was limited by Carolina. The Rams, obviously, with what happened against Philadelphia. The Bears, like you say, are solid. The Cowboys with a loss, not an unexpected loss to Indianapolis, but the fact that they got shut out. Yeah, and Seattle, how do you explain Seattle losing to San Francisco? So yeah. I agree. I think the best teams have come back to the pack. And I think the Minnesota Vikings, when you take the bits and pieces of when they played well, offensively, defensively, throwing the ball, running the game, if they can put those pieces together in totality, they're as good as any team that's in the NFC.
In the time you were head coach, did you ever take the unusual step, but hardly unprecedented step, of dismissing a coordinator or a big-time assistant during the season? Because as you well know, the Vikings did exactly that. Mike Zimmer did exactly that. And it set off all kinds of concerns, I think, on the part of some people in terms of the timing, and others saying, well, if you got to do it, you got to do it when you do it, and that's just the way it works. What did you make of all that, and what's your own experience in that regard?
Yeah, in our 2006 season, Jim Fossil, who not only was a very good friend, but I had made the offensive coordinator, I let go of him five games into the season. For a number of different reasons. I don't need to go into that. And I took over the play calling. And we went 13-3. So everything's great. You know, I'm brilliant again. I know what I'm doing. It's fabulous. And then the next year I lose my starting quarterback, my backup quarterback, Ray Lewis, Jonathan Ogden. We go 5-11 and they fire me. So yeah, I mean, yeah, they're this is not untypical. It's very clear cut. Obviously, there was not a connection between Coach Zimmer and the coordinator. And now there is, you know, and the new guy, it's real simple. Let's see, the last guy ran it 20 times and lost. I ran it 40 times and won. I think I figured out what I better be doing going forward.
In terms of the, I guess you could say what goes on behind the scenes, because we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that Zim had been very public. And you had mentioned, well, you know, one of the ways to deal with that is just walk down the hall, you'd like to think, which maybe he had done and we don't know. But that was, it was very public. Zim, over a long period of time, was very public about it. And it's been interesting here because, you know, Stefanski was on this staff. He wanted that job and did not get it here. And, in fact, then got blocked from going to New York to be the offensive coordinator for Pat Shurmur. You know, it seemed on paper to be a move that made sense. You go to the Eagles, they have that pedigree and so forth. But we learn again, I guess, Brian, that a lot of times, for whatever reason, people don't get on the same page or they go in different directions. And sometimes the result is the need for a change, eh?
Well, let's remember, let's go back to our history in Minnesota when Jack Burns was the offensive coordinator. I think we were 4 or 5 games into it, and Denny fires Jack Burns and makes me the offensive coordinator. And without getting too much into the weeds, a lot of it does have to do with what you or I or the fans can't see is the interpersonal relationships as to how that dynamic works between the coordinators, the offensive staff, the players, with the head coach. There's a lot of things going on. And the head coach has to make, and having been a part of that on the one side, where I became the coordinator 4 games into it, and where I've had to make that change as a head coach, it is very much about just that, about the personalities, how the staff's going to work together, that it's, you know, it's got to fit. And it's tough to make those transitions during the course of the season. It's not a panic time. When you look at Baltimore, when they're in their last Super Bowl in 2012, they let go of Cam Cameron, 3/4 of the way through the season. Make the change of the coordinators. Jim Caldwell.
That's right.
Caldwell. Now they weren't a whole lot better the rest of the season, but then they get in the playoffs. Flacco gets the great run. Yeah. They end up winning a Super Bowl and Caldwell gets the Detroit job. So yes, it is very much, it has very little to do with schematics and X's and O's and the way it really does come down to what is the fit between the coordinator, the assistant coaches, the players, and the head coach.
You know, it's interesting because there's a tendency for me to think, I wonder if in situations like that, players do become a little bit more focused, because even though they're the ones who aren't getting fired, it's got to be a move that, you know, it happens, but it doesn't happen a lot. And it has to get, I would think, players' attention too. Like, man, you know, we gotta figure this thing out here on the fly. And my only hesitation in necessarily the move itself and bringing it all down on the coordinator is, and you've certainly talked to me about this over the years, is that coaching matters, play calling can matter, but a lot of times it's players just playing better or making better plays that generally when things don't go right, the way the Vikings offense was not going right for a number of weeks, it's not usually one culprit. It's a lot of things that are out there. The offensive line not blocking effectively, and you know, penalties and breakdowns that go well beyond whether this play was called or this formation was called as well as opposed to the other one, correct?
Absolutely. And at the very least, it does give the players an opportunity to kind of take ownership of it, step up, and then if things go well, certainly like they did against Miami, and obviously you got the games going forward against Detroit and Chicago, to where if they go well, it may be, you know, not necessarily legitimate, but it's a, oh yeah, okay, that was the problem. It were okay, it was that guy. Whether that's real or not, there, you know, again, I allude to the Baltimore Ravens situation when they let go of Cam Cameron, and whatever that dynamic was, it gave the players the opportunity to say, okay, we're okay now, when we got to take ownership of it, and we got to support Jim Caldwell, who was very popular, and they did all the way to the Super Bowl. So I would, you know, if the Viking fans need something to kind of hang their hat on, and what was it, a team? It was a team with great defense. It was a team that ran the ball pretty well, and Joe Flacco, who had played okay, kind of like the Kirk Cousins, played okay, but then in the playoffs got hot. He had 11 touchdowns and no interceptions during the playoff run. So if Viking fans need something, some history to go back to and hang their hat on, go back to the 2012 Baltimore Ravens, and I think you can make enough a connection there that at least help you sleep better.
Matt Burke he's reminded us, in fact, of that very team. And, of course, he was on that club as well. Brian Billick is our guest on The Fan. Vikings, as you know, have Detroit this week in Detroit, and then they host the Bears. And the Bears might have still some hope of, you know, if the Rams go to a complete collapse, I guess, the possibility of getting to that second spot, still unlikely but possible. But I heard Dave Wannstedt talk about a belief that even if the Bears, this is how much respect he says he has for the Vikings. He said, even if the Bears are clinched in their spot and can't really move when they play that last game, he believes that the Bears should play that game to win because he views the Vikings as an extremely dangerous opponent. Because presumably, if it's 3 versus 6, it could be they play 2 straight weeks, the second week in the playoffs in Chicago. I thought it was interesting. He's basically saying, play it like you want to eliminate
a team that might really be a competition of yours. Can you, given how, you know, easy it is to have injuries in this league, can you do that if you're a head coach, that you go all out with all your main guys in a game in which, regardless of the outcome, you know you're in the postseason, just to try to keep the other team from advancing? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's legitimate. I'll draw on some personal history, because the Bears, you're very right in terms of the Bears may get to that last week. They can't change their playoff positioning. In our Super Bowl run, we got to the last game of the year. We're playing the New York Jets. And it turns out we were going to end up being the fifth seed. Nothing was going to change that. So, I'm a new head coach, so I'm going to try to do the smart thing. Okay, we're going to rest this guy. So I get in front of my team and go, okay, guys, you know, you got to understand, and this is where we're at, and you've earned this and whatever. So we're going to do this, this, and this. And Ray Lewis and so-and-so are going to, you know, we're going to use the extra rest and whatever. And so I've done my whole head coaching thing. Well, I go to my office and Ray Lewis comes in. And Ray comes in and he goes, Coach, that's not going to happen. Okay. We got to play. Okay. We're the ball. We haven't had a winning season since our inception. If you're New Orleans, if you're New England, if you're, you know, one of these teams in the pedigree, I get that. But we got to fight our way in. And he was right. And that's exactly what we did. And I think the Bears are kind of in the same situation. I think you got to play your guys. And what I told them was, okay, I've got it, guys. I'm in. We're all in. But listen to me. When I get into the game, if I say you're out, you're out, and I don't want any argument. Okay. And I'm talking to Ray and Jonathan Ogden and Rod Woodson. These are the three future Hall of Famers. So I don't want any argument, but okay, we're going to go in and we're going to play this game. And the Jets had to win to get in. So they were very motivated. So we get in and we're back and forth and we ended up winning the game. And it was the right thing to do because it was, and we were fortunate we didn't get hurt. Cause if Ray Lewis had gotten hurt, that'd have fired me on the spot, right? For playing Ray Lewis in a game that didn't mean anything, but it did set an impetus for us going forward. Because we were a wild card team, you know, so, and we had to go on the road and do all those things you got to do, but it did set a mentality for us for an organization that hadn't had a winning season since its inception. So, and Chicago's kind of, not that they have that same pedigree, but it's been a long while. I agree with Dave Wannstedt. That's a long-winded answer to, I agree with Dave Wannstedt in the same mentality for the Bears.
Two last things for you, Mr. Billick, before we let you go, brought to you by SeatGeek.com as always. If you buy the notion that defenses have figured out something about the Rams, what is it that they've figured out?
Well, I think I've been doing my radio shows all day, as you know, I do on Tuesday, and I'm all over the country. And everybody's, what happened to Jared Goff? Is he now the village idiot? I'm less worried about Jared Goff than I am the secondary and their ability to cover and tackle than I am Jared Goff. And I think that's their defensive abilities are more of a concern for me. Kansas City, I think without Kareem Hunt, which is obviously when you lose a top player like that, it's going to affect you. Tariq Hill's effectiveness has been diminished because I think people maybe he's a phenomenal player, but have caught up with the jet sweep and the this and the, you know, the wide running game that they have. And the people have made in the RPOs, they've maybe caught up with it a little bit and know how to play them better. And that's not just Kansas City. We saw it with New Orleans. We saw it with the Rams. So I think defenses, and again, it's December, and this is when great defense needs to be good. So I don't know that they're still going to be good, but I don't know. I think their blemishes have been exposed, and I think it makes it for a fascinating, fascinating playoff, because when you look at the fifth, what could very well be the fifth and sixth seed, Seattle and Minnesota. Let's say that's the way it plays out. You're talking about teams with really good defense, with a quarterback presence, obviously with Russell Wilson, and certainly Kirk Cousins, who's having a solid year, if not in the critical times. And with the running commitment to the Seahawks and now what the Vikings will do, I think both these teams could be very – because we've seen with that formula – of great defense, run the ball, don't make a mistake, get turnovers, has done and seen that they're not invincible when you're talking about the Saints, the Rams, and Kansas City. So it's kind of getting fun.
New England Patriots is my last question. They start the season the way they often do, And when they struggle, every time they do, it's this could be it, this could be it. And then what do? They recover. They win like, you know, 9 out of 11 or 9 out of 10 the way they always do. What seems to be a little different this time is they've lost back-to-back games in December for the first time in, I think, a long time. So dare we do it? Dare we give last rites this time to the New England Patriots? Because one of these years, Mr. Billick, it's going to be true. It's just going to be over. It happens to the best of them. Could this be the year? Are you seeing some real vulnerability in the Patriots, or is that still a trap?
No, it is a trap. You're exactly right. But at some point, you're exactly right, Dan. We're going to be right. You know, folks that want to say, oh, they're done. Brady's too old. At some point, we're going to be right. Now, is this the year? I don't know. I will say this from watching them, and Sean O'Hara, who's my partner on Playbook on Wednesdays on the NFL Network, did a nice piece on them last week. They look, and I don't know if this is the right term or not, but they look tired. By that I mean whether it's mentally tired, emotionally tired, physically tired, defensively, they're not quite fitting up. They bring the eighth guy down in the box, but there's two guys in one gap. You know, they're just kind of making mistakes. The Patriots have been brilliant with Belichick and Brady in terms of their situational preparedness, and they don't beat themselves, and they're doing a couple things to beat themselves now, and that's a different. Now, do they? You know, they're going to get in the playoffs, and now they got the pedigree, and it's like, okay, now we're the New England Patriots, and you're going to have to deal with that, and that's very, very real. But I think you're spot on. At some point, and I'm not going to bet on it because you can lose a lot of money betting against Brady and Belichick. But at some point, that observation that you just made is going to be right, and now may be that time.
None of us have the guts to follow through with it, though, for that very reason, as you lay out very nicely. SeatGeek.com, it's a good time of year because there's people are home for the holidays. They want to go see concerts. They want to go see teams. And you're here to tell us once again that SeatGeek is the place to go, correct, to get all the pertinent ticket information and the best deals.
Yeah, I'm going to help all your viewers right now. All the guys, you know, I'm going to help you right here because you're probably like me. You got no idea what to get your wife, okay?
Yeah.
Get her great seats to whatever concert or play or whatever they want to go to. You go to SeatGeek.com. Unbelievable resume of tickets that you can go to. Every transaction is guaranteed. They tell you what kind of deal you're getting. You're going to get a great value. And every transaction is guaranteed. And you take, you get $20 off with your first purchase if you put in the code word Billick. And then the good thing is you do that, then you can also buy your tickets to the, you know, the Vikings Detroit game or Chicago if you want to, you know, they're playing at home. And now you can't catch any grief for it. So you go to SeatGeek.com, got all your holiday needs.
Outstanding work as always. Merry Christmas to you and to yours. And hopefully we will catch up. Once the playoffs start, New Year, it's right around the corner now, so we will talk then.
We'll do it. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Same to you, sir. Brian Billick helping us out. Ooh, there's the old dial tone as well. He's got another one to do. He's got, like,
about 30.
I think it's 30 gigs, literally.
You wouldn't know.
And I give him credit, because when you do that many, it is hard to really speak with conviction, one would think, by 5 o'clock Central Time, and he does it. He gives us great stuff almost every time we have him on. Let's pause here. We still aren't going to do the 520 sports fix because we got Lou Nanny coming up on the phone, and maybe we'll go 555.
We could do that.
Can you pull something together? Because there are sports headlines to pay attention to.
We'll review a couple of those.
All right.
I'll pull it together.
That doesn't seem like you're going to. That seems much more half-hearted than Billick.
I was going to say, I am the anti-Billick when it comes to the 520 sports fix.
That's a good way to look at it. We'll talk Louie. We'll talk hockey when we return.
You're listening to Dan Barrero, broadcasting live from Fleet Farm in Lakeville, collecting toys for tots along with the Minnesota Vikings on the fans.
Well, she sneaks around the world from Korea to Carolina. She's a sticky finger filcher from Berlin down to Belize. She'll take you for a ride on a slow motion China. Tell me, where in the world is
Lou Nanny?
There's only South Korea making money because Korea come from the red sea to Greenland.
Well, Lou Nanny is, I think, in town, but he is not with us in Lakeville. We are at the Fleet Farm, the historic Lakeville Fleet Farm. Toys for Tots Day here on The Fan. Vikings involved, of course. KFAN involved, as well as the U.S. Marine Corps. Still time for you to stop by, donate a toy. They've got toys here to purchase that you, then you could drop in the bin. You could bring cash. You can do it if you have toys. If you have a car full of toys already, bring them in. And we'll be glad to
There was a whole school bus earlier today.
That's what I heard.
Literally a school bus.
Kids came with toys.
That's awesome.
The entire school. I can't remember the name of the school. Chad Abbott, if he's listening still, will text me.
He's not listening.
That information. Well, the season's over.
He's moving on. It's Christmas season.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. It's football season to Christmas season.
Louie, are you where you said you were going to be a week ago?
I'm in Lake Minnetonka.
I think it was a big holiday party tonight, correct?
Well, it's not big. Mitch and Marty Davis. It's actually Marty Davis' party. And
okay.
He's hosting a dinner for Sid and Bud Grant. So
just
a few couples.
So just a smaller group, but a very distinguished group, it sounds like.
Extinguished or distinguished?
Well, that's another issue. Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, it's good to have you back. Do you have your Christmas shopping done, or do you not even worry about that anymore? Because you have everything, so no one can shop for you, I wouldn't think, at this point. There's nothing you don't have.
No, well, that's why I don't want any gifts, and my wife does all the shopping, she always has. I really haven't done too much except for her, essentially, and sometimes for my sons. She made me do that for my sons and son-in-law, but now she takes care of everything, so I never really had a lot of work to do for years. She's done everything.
Well, that's not bad. It's good to have you here, or good to have you on the phone, at least. Let's start with the obvious subject, which we've been covering on and off for several days. I don't know. We couldn't have talked about this last week at this time because it hadn't happened yet. You had the classic situation again of a legitimate hit by Dumba, and look where we are a week and change later, Louis. I mean, he's now out maybe for an extended period. It wasn't enough that whatever retribution had to be offered up at the original game, even though the Dumba hit was legit, it carried over into another game. Why are there still people in your sport who abide by this nonsense? Because nobody wins at the end of it. I don't think anybody looks good.
You're exactly right. As a matter of fact, we had talked about it maybe the week before.
Absolutely.
When I said that's the worst thing in the game today in hockey. I can live with spontaneous fights when one guy gets upset with another guy and they might have done one thing or other to each other and they have a fight amongst themselves. But the worst thing, far and away, there's nothing right now as bad as the game as someone hitting somebody with a clean check, a hard clean check. The player goes down and his teammate comes rushing to fight the other guy because he hit him hard. You know, you used to have to be able to take care of yourself. And this nonsense, why it's allowed, just drives me nuts. If I was still in the game, every time I'd go to a general manager meeting, I'd be saying, you got to get this out. If a guy does that, throw him out of the game immediately for coming over and starting to fight. Just throw him right out of the game, and that'll do away with it because it affects the whole game. And I don't mean just the individual. It affects the way the games are played because you're going to start stifling hard body checks, contacts, because people got to live with this and don't want to have it. And I really think it's the most detrimental thing in the game today. I say it time and time again. When I see guys, when we go and visit the general manager meetings in March, I tell the guys again, why do you allow this? It's just crazy. It's crazy. I have nothing wrong against two guys if they just get in a spontaneous fight. But when someone hits someone clean and hard, and then somebody comes over and fights them or waits till the next game and initiates a fight like that, you got to stop that stuff. You got to just throw it out of the game. And now you lose players. Like, Dumba gets lost. He's probably got a shoulder separation because he certainly won the fight and he certainly got the most punches in. But I think the way the pulling and jerking of the shoulder probably separated his shoulder.
You've been on this for years.
Yeah.
This is the thing that more than anything else is drives you crazy, that the notion that you have to be embarrassed to such a place after getting maybe not ready for a clean hit, that it's not enough to, okay, I'll remember it, and I'll try to get a good shot in, it, not this game, the next game. Teammates feel they have to somehow avenge it when the hit, the original, instead of just saying, well, I don't love it, I'm annoyed that he did it and that I wasn't ready for it, but I can't really suggest that our goon has to go out and do something about it. It's embarrassing.
It's not even a goon's going to do it. And I don't even mind if the guy got up off the ice who got hit hard, and even though it was a clean check and went after Dumba, that's fine. If that's the way he wants to handle it, that's between those two.
Right.
I just think it just takes everything out of the game when a third party comes in. And Brett, Tkachuk is far and away from being a goon. He's an excellent hockey player, and he's a physical hockey player. But he's got no business being in there. On top of that, that kid, Lundberg, already did it the game before. He came off the bench, jumped Dumba, got a suspension for 2 games, got his fine, his coach fine for $10,000. This is just
Let me ask you this. Louis, I mean, again, I don't know if it's become a difficulty of proving it, but isn't the real answer beyond the punishment you suggest that coaches have to get suspended 10 games? Because in this case, I keep hearing that that's what this really was, that this was definitely... The message came originally from the bench, and I don't know how hard that is to prove, but to me, that's the other way to really put an end to this nonsense, to say, we don't even care if it's arbitrary. We're going to assume that the coach had something to do with it, and you're going to start being gone for 10 days or 10 games.
Yeah, you're right, and I got to tell you, the game has changed, because in the old days, like my coach, Glenn Sonmore, if rather than send somebody out to that, he would have challenged that coach down in the, underneath the, the stands for doing that to his player.
Yes.
And then in those days, that would happen, and he's done it. I got to tell you, he's done it a number of times. I was there, and had they ever gotten a fight, they would have both been suspended. Just go back and look at Traverse City, and I want to say, oh, it's got to be 15 years ago now, maybe. And I had a kid that played in the Nets for us, Lord Mullican. He was a goaltender from out west. He was, our second-team goalie, mostly played in the minors. And then he played over in Chicago. And when he was through, he ended up in coaching. And then he ended up coaching in the Chicago system. And they had the rookie camp in Chicago. And in that rookie camp where all these kids go, and they still go every September, and there's about 6 teams in Traverse City. They go to a number of different places, other teams. And during the game, he had his players just going out jumping some of Washington's players. George McPhee was the general manager of Washington at the time. The game was over. George McPhee went down and knocked Mullican down, give him a black eye, the whole deal. He says, you want the guys to fight? You and I are fighting. And he just dropped them. Well, he ended up with a suspension. Bill Wirtz, who was owner of Chicago at the time, went nuts. I mean, there was no place in hockey for that, blah, blah, blah. And he took it to the board of the governors. George got reprimanded. But I got to tell you, you know what? There's as much place for that as there is for a guy sending his players out to go fight like that in this day and age. And that's why it just shows you how ludicrous the whole thing is. And had that happened where the coaches fight, can you imagine what we'd have been talking about today?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. Lou Nanny is our guest on The Fan as we continue with him. We are at Fleet Farm in Lakeville. It's our big Toys for Tots event. Still time to come back or come down and visit us or stop in and donate a toy as well. I want to ask you a Coyle question. There was a piece the other day, a couple pieces, I think, where Coyle basically said, look, I get that there's... He basically said he thought that it was almost a curse being versatile, that he gets moved around in part because he's capable of playing at least, serviceably at a couple different positions, and that he almost wishes that in his heart of hearts, even though he knows there's a reason that that's the way it's been in his career, that he would prefer to sort of stick with one spot, and he'd feel better about doing that. We've talked about the whole Coyle thing in terms of where he should play and, how often he should be moved around and so forth. What do you make of that whole thing? Because to me, part of it is if you're great at either of the positions, then I got to believe they would be more likely to keep you there. But he's been good at times in his career, but I don't think he's been great enough to where they're going to take away from the flexibility that they have with moving him around. Is that unfair to Coyle? Are we possibly never going to see the best that he has to offer because he gets moved around to the degree that he has?
Well, it could be. You know, there's been a big change. Back when I played, there were less guys were dressed, so everybody had a guy on the team that played forward and defense. As a matter of fact, the first game I played in the NHL was in St. Louis. I played all five positions, everything except goal by the end of the night. And you say, oh, that's good. You know, you make yourself more valuable to the team, and they can always count on you to go one position or the other. And I had to do that for the majority of my career. But, you know, one full year I played forward, and the other nine I essentially played defense with forward during the game for different reasons. But I personally always felt I just want to stay in defense. I just like it, or just leave me in forward. And I know where Coyle's coming from because I live that life. And I just think that an individual has a position that he likes to play and maybe feels more comfortable at and probably is more productive at. And when you keep them guessing, they might always have in the back of their mind, well, either I'll play here or maybe they're going to switch me back there. It's not that you don't play as hard. And I'm not saying you don't even play as well, but you're never in your mind settled. The next shift you're going out at center, or next shift out you're going out at right wing, or next shift out you're a defense, and whatever it is. You really just like to be looked on as a centerman or a right winger or a defenseman, I would think, in this day and age when there are 20 guys on the team and there aren't guys really playing forward and defense. They're either one forward position, or he might interchange forward positions like Coyle's doing now, or a defenseman.
Lou Nanny is with us. I want to get into, we're going to keep it a little shorter than usual since we're on the phone today, about, you may not have heard of this, but at the University of Minnesota there have been problems selling tickets. Guardsy gets really bitter because the Strib seems to have a story on this in one form or another every other week. And everybody's got a theory regarding what the U should do. And maybe it's not a one-size-fits-all theory because there may be specific issues involving different sports, whether we're talking about hockey, football, basketball, etc. But everybody's trying to figure out if there's a magic formula by which you can try to get more people in the seats because there ain't very many people in the seats for football games. You've talked about the hockey challenge as well. And even basketball, to this point, now the Big Ten season hasn't officially begun. January's not here, but those numbers I don't think have been through the roof. They've been raucous, I hear, the people who are there, but not huge numbers. So is the answer some sort of radical slashing, even if it's for a short term, of ticket prices that really gets everybody's attention? Or what do you think is the best formula here going forward?
Well, first of all, I don't know what the best formula is. I would think that anytime you can find a way to encourage more people to come in, even at a lower price, if it works, you're going to do it. But there are a lot of consequences to that. But before we go into that, let's remember two things. One, it's not just that Minnesota's happening, and it's not just happening in one, two, or three sports. If you go to St. Cloud, I just talked to someone this past week that St. Cloud's got a great hockey team. They're playing well. They're not selling out. I talked to people in Michigan that are football games, and Michigan had a great year. They're not selling out. So we can go around and pick any school you want right now in college athletics, and for the most part, and I'm not counting Alabama, but outside of that, most of these teams are not reaching the levels they've reached before. And there are numerous reasons for it, one of being that ticket prices have accelerated in all sports, all places, in all cities. And the second is the competition. And the third is the disposable dollar that individuals have.
Yeah.
And you have individuals doing more themselves, their families, etc., whether it's skiing or snowmobiling or playing tennis or bowling, whatever it is, you've got inherent competition every place you are. So you've got to find a way, and it comes through winning and it comes through pricing, especially when you got as much competition as you got in the Twin City market.
Yeah, I think those are both, I guess, very workable. And as you do, it is important, I guess, to note that this isn't the only school that's going through it. Maybe I don't understand the numbers, and Guardsy might be able to get on this too. I assumed that now, at least in football and basketball, the money that's coming in from like the Big Ten Network is so great that maybe that it'd be easier or potentially more possible in the short run to go to a radical slashing of prices, because you got built-in money that you've talked about before that is a huge amounts of money that you couldn't necessarily count on before, and that maybe that's what really gets everybody's attention at a place like this. Now, I don't know how you readjust later, because you don't want to keep it real low forever, but that was something that you could, from a financial standpoint, be more likely to get away with in this day and age, as odd as it sounds, than it used to be, because that's just built-in automatic dough that you didn't have before at schools like the University of Minnesota.
Dan, that is a great point, and probably a workable one in the short term. But I want to remind you that not only Minnesota, every team, they know how much money's coming in from the Big Ten. And unfortunately, here, like every other place, you budget and you run your operation to that budget. And that budget always assumes that you're going to be getting that money plus other levels of revenue from your ticket pricing. And because of that, that's why you've seen the coaches' salaries rise like they are. They're off the charts. And salaries for all the assistants, everybody else, are much higher than they were. And they are there because the better schools and the revenue-producing schools in the sport keep pushing the ceiling up. And you got to keep up with the Joneses. And on top of that, then you look at facilities, of which we went out and spent $190 million to improve the facilities at the University of Minnesota. You know, some of it is bonded now, but we got to pay those bonds off. And sure, you could do that, especially if you were able to raise all the revenue through donations and paid off those bonds, and you don't have any shortfall that you have to service the debt. And then what you do is you can take a hit on the revenues coming in from the games, because you really don't have the expenses that you thought you were going to have. You paid off those buildings, and you could probably reorganize and get the pricing more proper than it is today, and that includes seat licensing, and make it more competitive, because at the end of the day, it's all competitive pricing with your competition, whether it's pros, amateurs, high school sports, or just leisure time sports that people are involved in. You got to find a way to get the disposable income from the people.
You know what you need? What the U needs? You need some of that excess pull tab money. The Vikings have, I mean, they got too much money coming in for the pull tab. We need to divert some of that money over to the U, Louie. How come you haven't worked on that?
Well, I probably should on top of it. You know, Sid was talking in the paper about how happy we are that it's going to be paid off. The Twins, are going to be paid off quicker than anything, way before.
Right. And the Vikings.
Well, how about just dropping the tax then on everybody that's got to go downtown to eat at restaurants and everything else? Doesn't mean you got to maintain the tax.
Wow, round of applause.
You got a standing ovation here, Louie.
We got Santa Claus giving you a standing ovation. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Shaking his fist in agreement with you.
I mean, geez, solidarity. They put on a tax doesn't mean it's got to be there forever. If you're paying them off, everybody's happy.
See?
Give it back to the people. Let them be able to go and spend money without being taxed extra, just to have a reserve that you never planned on having.
I can't wait for your one-on-one session with the incoming governor, laying out exactly that suggestion. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got some ideas on him on taxation in the state, that I think would be more fair and generate more revenue. Yeah. I'd love to talk to him.
I think we're going to make that happen. We're going to set up a one-on-one, and maybe get a Lou Nanny Day proclamation as well before this whole thing is done. We're going to let you go on that note. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, because next Tuesday is Christmas. The following Tuesday is New Year's Day, so I think we're probably going to be off both of those. Thank you for another wonderful year. We know your year isn't done, because we go well through the hockey season as well. But the best to you and yours. Thanks for contributing as wonderfully as you continue to do to our program, and we will be in touch.
Well, thanks very much. It's great being with you guys. I look forward to it every week.
Outstanding.
Thanks. Have a great Christmas.
You as well. Lou Nanny, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get a pause in, and we'll get caught up. We're a little behind schedule. Eventually, we're going to try to force Guardsy to feign interest in the 5:55 sports.
We're not going to have time.
Give us a couple of headlines.
We're out at like 6:10 tonight.
Oh, we're fine.
We got to go.
We can wedge it in.
We got to go.
Back in a minute here on The Fan.
Now back to Dan Barrero on The Fan, broadcasting live from Fleet Farm in Lakeville, collecting toys for tots along with the Minnesota Vikings.
Well,
All right, so the deal the rest of the way is that because of the fact that your Minnesota Wild are back in action tonight, and we also have Vikings programming to get in ahead of that. What's tonight? Is it Wobby?
Tonight, yeah, Wobby.
Wobby Tales?
And it's the Rudolph family. The,
oh, is that what
year.
It is
yeah,
tonight?
It's Kyle and Jordan, I believe.
So is that now literally, in terms of winning the overall Man of the Year, is that strictly a vote? Or is that just a way to drum up interest in the whole process?
Good question. I know the vote is huge because okay. we've been having to do that on social media yeah. and everything like that.
Right.
Handed out at the Super Bowl. So I remember Burke was up for it one year. The year that we were in Tampa,
That's
I was
right.
down there,
yeah.
and Burke was up for it. I don't think he won the Man of the Year.
Okay.
He won the Vikings Man
right.
of the Year. He didn't win the Man of the Year, like the ultimate one.
Right.
But it's still pretty cool. And so they're going to be with Wobby
so
tonight.
You think voting's part of it, but then not all of it? There's
I don't
still
know.
Like a committee or whatever?
I don't know. I don't know if it's like the Pro Bowl or what it is.
Yeah. Political? Is there a lot of politics involved?
Probably.
In it?
With every award there is.
There always is.
Yeah.
My concern is the obvious.
Man of the Year bias?
Anti-flyover country bias that will end up working against us. That's all.
Well, we'll know if he doesn't get it because I saw a tweet a couple of days ago that he was very
He's lapped the field
comfortably
in, voting,
in the lead. Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
really?
Trent's got the info.
Trent, go ahead. What do you got? What's the procedure to pick the overall NFL Man of the Year?
Yeah, so I'm here on the NFL Man of the Year website, and okay. it looks like the NFL Man of the Year is presented by a committee.
Okay.
But this whole voting bit, the thing that you can do with Kyle Rudolph on Twitter, that mm-hmm. is like an extra donation to the charity of their choice.
I see.
It's called the Man of the Year Charity Challenge, and yeah, and he is currently right now at about 144,000, and the next highest vote getter is Dak Prescott with 83.
We're so close. Special. Yeah, we're so special when it comes to voting for our favorite.
Of course,
players.
We are.
But the award has nothing to do with that.
That tells
That's
me that they are separated. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah which so
good hustle, Trent. Thank you.
So it will be political, and we'll probably get jobs. Because that's what we always are. We, you know, we live in this flyover country, and no one ever takes us seriously.
That's why we got to be civic-minded.
We'll remember that.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting about this is, I don't know. I mean, we've played one game in a row in which we've looked good. And it was against a pretty lousy team.
Yeah.
And we did it at home. And suddenly it's gone from what's even the point of trying to get into the postseason to no one wants to play us. And I'm not just hearing this from homers. I mentioned to you that I heard this from Wonstadt earlier today. Billick didn't disagree when we chatted with him as well. Now, he didn't exactly say, I'm picking the Vikings to get to the bowl.
Right.
But it's interesting how, and you know what it is? And to me, it's actually a slam on this team because what it tells me is that this team is perceived as having enough talent where they absolutely still must be potentially reckoned with as a tough team to get by. And that says to me, we have woefully underachieved at 7-6-1, that's what people really believe, is that
yeah.
that we're dangerous because of the talent we have, the established players we have, and that we should be a hell of a lot better, which still doesn't necessarily mean that even if we don't have a great record, you get in and you get on a little bit of a roll.
I would also say they're probably respected and maybe feared by some because the defense has played pretty well the last while now. I mean, even
yeah.
the Seattle game, the defense played really well. Until they really couldn't do anything,
yeah.
right? I mean, that's
Well, they ran the ball well. Didn't Seattle run the ball well?
Yeah, but they
game?
Do that against everybody.
Yeah, okay, I mean,
but you're the one that says yards don't matter. It's all about points.
Yards matter if it's keeping the ball away from your own offense.
That's
now,
true.
I mean, they weren't the reasons we lost that game.
Right.
I understand that.
I mean, late in the game, it's 6-0, basically,
well,
right?
Well, even Lieber was saying, though, we give up, he said, I don't like the, we give up too many chunk yards defensively. Now, we didn't do that against Miami.
Except the one.
Well, the one
that was 75.
Yeah.
But I think that's the reason why people still think this team has an opportunity to do something, because historically, the last few years, the defense has been very good. They played pretty well. They haven't been the biggest. They've been an issue earlier in the year.
Big time.
They were a mess early in the season, and it seems that they fixed that.
Wait a minute. You mean when DeFilippo's offense bailed them out earlier in the year?
Excuse me?
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I forgot.
A couple of times.
He's hated now. He's scored.
I know. It's unbelievable.
He's the anti-hero. Should he do jail time, do you think? You think DeFilippo should be forced
should
to do
stay
some
at
kind
that, of... At minimum, he should stay at that bed and breakfast that's an old prison that we talked about on TV on Friday.
Yeah.
Zimmer should make him stay there.
Yeah, maybe that's the answer. I don't know. Well, And now, you know, we talked about all the possibilities yesterday that, that basically the Vikings have a legitimate chance to clinch this coming Sunday. Because already one of the three things that had to happen happened.
Carolina
had to lose at least one of the next two, and they already lost last night. So now you're down two. The Redskins have to lose. And who's the other team that has to lose?
I thought we just had to win.
No. We have to win, and two other teams have to lose.
Gessling tweeted Washington, something about it today.
No, Washington still has to lose to clinch this week.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about.
And
who's the other team I'm forgetting about, though? It's Carolina, Washington, and Philly. Philly, they both have to lose. But they both have legitimate opponents. One on the road, one at home. Doesn't one play, I think, Houston, and the other plays Tennessee, correct?
Yes, Washington is at Tennessee on Saturday.
That's certainly losable.
The Eagles host Houston on Sunday.
And that's losable.
And both of those teams have to lose.
Now, the
and we
Eagles
have to
can
win,
yeah. So, yeah, so, but the Carolina went belly up on a night when the Saints' offense looked awful. Drew Brees did not look particularly good either, I would say. We got one more break to get in?
Yep.
Let's do it now. We got a final segment. And then you got an update on some prize giveaways, correct? Cook helmet?
Yes, we've got
the game-worn helmet.
Right before.
This is the helmet he wore last week. What's so funny?
Well, I'm waiting to see how you sell it.
Well, last week he had his, from a rushing standpoint, his best game ever.
Yep.
Caught another pass for 27 yards.
Nice catch.
Was the star of the game. Finally, we have a coordinator smart enough to get him the ball when the last idiot refused to do it.
Yeah.
And this is the helmet he wore. You know that? Remember that spin move?
Yes.
That one, that 360 he did, and then he made a great sharp cut to the right. This is the helmet he was wearing while he scored on that touchdown, which I think gave us our final touchdown.
I think that was the final day.
I think it was 41. What was the final score? 41-17.
41-17.
Whatever it was.
So that's the helmet.
That's it. I'm
you're going to certify that.
I'm authenticating it.
All right, cool.
No question
about
that.
I didn't know
you
had that power, but I'm glad you do.
Yeah, we'll go with it.
So we'll give it away in about 5 minutes. If people are sprinting to get here, you can still enter to win, but it's our final Vikings giveaway. Yeah, the helmet's here. We've had every prize.
Is it hidden somewhere?
There it is.
Oh, there it is.
Wow, we really have good security on it. It's just sitting on an empty table.
You know
the street team's not even looking at it.
Wait a minute. We trust people here.
Unbelievable.
You don't even know your own people. I'm not one of us, and I understand why we can get away with that, because we're honest here. We're trustworthy in Minnesota.
We're awful close to Iowa being down here in Lakeville.
All right, pause. Back in a minute. Wrap things up.
Listening to Dan Barrero, broadcasting live from Fleet Farm in Lakeville, collecting toys for tots along with the Minnesota Vikings on the Fan. It's the Bumper to Bumper Show Wrap, brought to you by Prism Clinical Research.
We were chatting earlier as part of our big Toys for Tots Day here on the Fan, that an entire busload of kids had stopped here to deliver toys. They came from, to make it official, Randolph, Minnesota. In fact, Ryan Donaldson tweeted out a nice photo of individuals getting off said bus with toys of all sizes. So kudos to the folks in Randolph, Minnesota, who took the extra effort today and brought a whole busload of people and toys down. Would it be down? Over? Up.
Up,
right?
And west.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
And for everybody else who's done yeoman's-like work today to make the effort to come and either see us or see the Power Trip or the Project or the Blithering Idiot, Common Man, Dan Cole.
Wow. Or Richard Pitino.
Richard Pitino.
Wow, no Common fans in the audience.
No,
that really got a good ovation.
That's an old joke. It's not even meant. I didn't even mean it, but I like saying it. Boxes and boxes of toys today. So I think we did very, very well. And there's still time. I think you can stop by if you are so inclined. Correct? They'll still take them.
I don't know why they wouldn't.
Yeah,
the bins are still here.
That's exactly it. And you tell me, you're going to have to check in at customer service.
Yes.
As soon as we're done, because our guy, one of us Hollywood actor guy, Josh Broughton, has now started his own tradition where he orders a toy
from Los Angeles or
from
California.
Los Angeles or California via the Fleet Farm online service, and then so you got to go pick it up to drop it in the bin.
I pick it up, I put it in the bin.
That's nice.
Yeah,
it's a nice effort on his part. If he really wanted to show us something, though, he'd be here.
Maybe next year.
Blow in for the event itself.
I know he's working on a play.
Is he?
Because I'm going out to California in about a week with my family, and I gave him a heads up. He's working on a play somewhere.
Well, my dream is still to write, because he and I have talked about this, to write a screenplay in which he stars, and it ends up being, you know, he becomes the star of stars in Hollywood. But the problem is we need a story.
He's given you a couple.
He has. That's true.
Every time there's a Minnesota thing, especially a Minnesota history
that's
thing.
That's true, yeah.
Like, I think it was, one of them was the women's basketball team that won, like, 75 games in a row.
That's true.
In 1932. Yeah. And now so they like don't play anymore.
Like a Minnesota version of Hoosiers.
Kind of.
What he's looking for.
That's, I think, what he's looking for.
I'm not sure if it would work. We'd have might have to embellish it a bit, but I guess that's Hollywood.
That's Hollywood.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, Hoosiers was a great story, and that got embellished.
Sure.
So I guess that's
Lou
just
Nanny
part of the
tells
deal.
Us basically nothing from Miracle is true.
Especially about him.
He hates every way that he's depicted,
yeah,
including
he's
the actor.
He's not happy about how he's depicted in that. He's still bitter about it. That's true.
So that's the Hollywoodization of it.
I want to remind you of what you might have missed earlier in this program that I'm hoping will be available online eventually via KFAN On Demand. Who joined us first today?
Today it was Stephen Weatherly.
Stephen Weatherly on location. Before he signed autographs, he chatted with us. And that was followed by Johnny Athletic.
Yep.
John Krasinski on both the Timberwolves and the Minnesota Vikings, not to mention the egregious non-travel call
by Harden
on James Harden. Had some fun with that. And then we had Brian Billick via telephone and Lou Nanny as well. I think that covers everybody, correct?
How about the Billick story? That's why I like Billick, talking about resting players and not resting
yes,
players.
Right.
I mean, that's why you have guys that have been in the trenches, right?
Yeah.
Where he basically says, I wanted to rest our guys. I was being head coach guy, and we're going to rest our starters. And Ray Lewis comes into my office
not
after
work.
I give this whole speech and says,
not
Brian, I love you.
Yeah.
We're playing. Sorry. Figure it out. That's a hell of a story.
And he admitted that basically he went over, he said, well, you're who you are.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
I mean, when the clubhouse king, Ray Lewis,
that's
comes
true.
In and tells you, sorry, we gotta play. We're happy for your little head coach speech.
When he says not going to work,
yeah, right?
It ain't going to work. It's as simple as that.
It's a good story.
And they went, was that the year they won it all?
I think that's what he told us,
because
that was the year they won.
And then he said the next year they had injuries and they finished 5-11 and they fired. Did he get fired the next year?
No, it couldn't have been.
No, it couldn't have been then.
He said like 05-06.
That's right.
When he had to fire the coordinator.
Yeah,
then he got
true.
Fired eventually pretty shortly after that.
Very true as well. So tomorrow is Wednesday?
Tomorrow's Wednesday.
And we're back at headquarters.
We are.
We're not going to still be at Fleet Farm, as far as we know.
If, I mean, they might want us out.
Well, I think
this is a lot of
they want us
space.
Out. They want us out,
this is a big retail space that we kind of just swallowed
up.
Well,
they got nothing but room. Look at this. This place is enormous.
Yeah, but this is right in the
forever.
Front door. This is right in the front door. Even my old babysitter, who babysat me when I was a little kid, she lives in Lakeville now. She came by. She goes, you guys are really taking up a lot of space here. Is this station, are you guys really that big? I said, well, some of us.
No, we're not really that big.
Yeah, I mean, not me personally, but some people are.
Yeah.
I mean,
are you going to shop before you leave?
I actually have my stuff over here because I was here noon to one doing the Patino show.
Okay.
So I got the list from my wife and I went around and grabbed some stuff.
Oh, so you already got it.
So I've got some stuff there. I've got to go get the Josh Broughton gift and then I've got to swing around and get a couple of more things.
Your wife came over to our house to pick up. We've been trying to dump a great a crib that can turn into a bed forever, and they couldn't get it all in the van apparently. So now it's going to take another trip after all this. So I don't know what we're going to. And don't ask me to. You know better than to ask me to put it together, right?
Yeah, and I'm concerned about me putting it together as well.
I am too, because I hope the instructions are in there, because otherwise it's impossible.
This is
going to
be some kind of trap.
It might be a little bit.
Swallow up our poor 4-month-old.
It might be.
It was a really nice crib until it fell apart on Christmas Eve.
You're not going to sue us, are you?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Mike Bryant.
Thanks for coming to see us today. Great Toys for Tots event. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year as well. And thanks for being as generous an audience as there is in all the business.
Shout out to Ryan Donaldson, who was here at 5 in the morning, was here yesterday.
Yeah.
Nobody thought he could pull it off,
no.
And somehow he did, miraculously.
That's a vicious shot. I thought he did very well, and you're still trying to rip him.
Time to go.
We'll talk tomorrow at 3 o'clock. It all starts once again. We'll talk to you then.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Dan Barrero channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.